thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this podcast from Celtic Underground. You are possibly picking this up on thecelticunderground.substack.com. If you are a paid subscriber, you can link your account to wherever you pick up your podcasts, whether that be Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever, and you can pick up the subscription feed where you get your normal feed. Just go on to Substack on the website and follow the instructions. Meantime, this is Andrew H. Smith in conversation.
Hi, and welcome to Celtic Underground. And today I've got somebody that can genuinely say there was something about him that I didn't encounter, or I haven't encountered in my 35 years, like in and around Celtic. Welcome, Mark McNally.
Thanks, Andy.
And if you want to know what the thing is, and as I say, it's a good thing, like, and it really did set you apart, but I don't know if it helped you in terms of your professional life at Celtic, but you had absolutely no ego, not a germ of ego. The most self-deprecating footballer I think I ever met. And I used to always think that people thought you didn't take it seriously because you didn't want to big yourself up or anything like that, which was never the case. I knew how much it meant to you, but you just, as I say, you were completely free of ego, which you don't often see in football.
Well, thanks, Andy. I through my life, I don't take myself too seriously. That's not to say that I didn't take football seriously, because from a very young age, I was focused and becoming a football player. And I was just really grateful that happened. And I ended up playing with a team that I supported as a kid. And my dad took me along to see games every week. And I was just in love with football. If I wasn't going to Celtic games, I lived in the Motherwell area. I used to walk up to Fir Park, always went there. And when Celtic were in town, watched the game. And as I say, if I wasn't at Parkhead on a Saturday afternoon, I would be at a game. And I would be playing in the morning. At that time, you played Saturday and Sundays. You know, you'd maybe be playing with the school team, then your boys' club. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that football to me was just fun. It was an escape from school, and it was something that I loved doing, and I loved the company, the players, my teammates. You know, I'm still friends with some guys that I played when I was 10. You know, so it's been a huge part of my life.
Yeah, and Celtic's been a huge part of your life. I mean, you signed professionally, scribbled to check his notes. You signed professionally in 1987. You signed professional forms, your first professional form was Celtic. You were playing for the Celtic Boys Club before that. So you'd almost 8 years with Celtic as a professional. And then the last 10 years, you've been part of the academy. I mean, that's a huge slice of your life that's been Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, it has been, as you say. Left school, went into full time training, and I loved every minute of it.
Did you still clean the boots? Were you YTS guys? And it was us.
There was kind of a double then. There was a group of us that were YTS, and there was a group that were ground staff. There was four or five boys that were ground staff, and they were the guys that
Was that higher up the pecking order?
That was a bit higher up, so I started right at the bottom. So it was myself, Jerry Britton, Raymond McStay were YTS, and then you had Stevie Fulton, Stevie Nicholas, Declan Roach. Declan from Ireland. They were in ground staff. So I think they get paid a bit more than us at that time. So
do you remember? Do you remember what you get paid for? Was it kind of jobber? What was it used to get called? YTS? It was the jobber scheme or something, wasn't it? It was odd.
Yeah, I think what happened was it was £27.50 sticks in my mouth.
Right.
And the club then topped it up. You know,
I took
maybe about £20. Yeah. So And that was, you know, I'd left school and all my friends at that time, everybody was in YTS. My friend was a panel beater. He was in the YTS, worked with Parks, Martin Gallagher. Arnold Clark never topped his up.
Hey, right. So they didn't give him the extra.
I was a wealthy YTSer.
And how long did that last then? Because when I say you joined professionally, I suppose, was that professional terms then? I suppose 87, it would have been, aye.
I think it was full time. I think it was maybe a 2 year. Contract thing. You're testing my memory here. And in that 2 year, obviously there was an under 18 team. And there was also a reserve week west team and a reserve team. So, yeah, we were playing games at the weekend, and then there used to be a game on a Monday evening.
Tony Palmerston and bloody Stenhouse Muir, because Donald, when I started, you know, Donald had a great idea. We've got to get better coverage. We've got to start going to these games. Like, bloody hell, some of the nights. Remember, I met Ali McLeod at Palmerston, mind you. I remember that was like you encountered some kind of weird and wonderful. And Stenhouse Muir was something like I'd never seen before in my life. These places.
Well, you would play. You remember, it used to be if the first team were playing Aberdeen at Celtic Park, then we would be up at Audrey, you know. And if you were coming down in the bus and you knew you were playing Queen of the South on a Monday night, you know, you were praying for Bobby Lennox to, you know, say, listen, you don't get bother coming in Monday, you know, you did really well today. You know, that was a bonus. You know, forget about money, that was a big bonus, coming from Aberdeen and then, you know, a day rest and then having to make that journey down to Queen of the South was a tough one. Or Stranra, that was even, I mean, if you were Stranra on a Monday evening, that was a killer.
Oh, you know, it's a terrible thing, poor Andy Walker, but we were delighted when Liam Brady dropped him into the Reserve League West squad. Because we could trust him. And I said, he's as good as anybody. The way he remembers goals and all that, even like 8-1 wins and all that, he remembered all your goals. I said, I can just get the report off him the next day. I can just wait because he can get it. And so you always want Andy to be like banished to the playing among the staffs, if you don't mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because he could do the reports and that saved us going.
He was a encyclopedia, Andy.
Oh, yeah, and it just these kind of photographic memory, whereas you had other people. We used to do kind of boys' club reports and all that, and it was like Andy Ritchie, and you would phone him just as he was coming off the pitch, and he would say, what was the score? And he'd say, I don't know. I couldn't remember anything. And it was like, we're not talking a 12-hour lag or a day lag or anything like that. I'm actually phoning him when he's just the game's just finished. I couldn't remember.
Oh,
you know, the phone's going muffled and he said, was it third goal scoring second half or what? Wait, he played well. And folk would get folk mixed up, the two wee red haired guys, you know.
Yeah.
So I remember we wrote this one and it was like picking this guy up, mother. And they said, he only come on for the last couple of minutes. It felt like man of the match, you know. That, you know? But it was Andy was getting two red haired guys mixed up.
Right. Oh, brilliant.
I mean, it was tough thing. Well, it wasn't it, wasn't it? I suppose with Celtic notorious problems in defence, do you always think you've got a chance, especially when you... I suppose, well, you were coming through the first season, they were brilliant in defence because it was a centenary season. You must have just been there polishing, but you'd have been behind the scenes kind of look at everything that was happening the centenary season, eh?
That was great. I mean, that year, I remember going to the cup final, and obviously watching them win the double. So it was a great time to be around the club. Things were looking good, and then the following year, that's when I made my debut. So it was 89.
I'm working out 1990, Motherwell, October 1990, no?
No, sorry, 90, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, the next
year that, no.
The next season kind of fragmented.